I was sitting there this whole time or during this time, and I'm just worshiping God, and I just kept thinking about, he just kept bringing to my mind all these verses about how that the whole world was turned upside down for Jesus. And he just did it with really 11 men, because I know, what could he do with us? But you know what? One thing that you're going to find in Acts chapter 1, around verses 11 and 12, it says that they gathered themselves together. Actually, it's verses 12 through 14. It says they gathered themselves together in an upper room, and they prayed. And they prayed for 10 days. And during those days, God was dealing in their hearts, and they were laying stuff down. See, these are men that had walked with Jesus. These are people that had heard Jesus when he was walking on the earth. And they had expectations of what they thought was going to happen. We need to lay down our expectations of what we think is going to happen. And that was part of that 10 days of waiting on God. And God says, I want you to be endued with power. I want to put my power, I want to endue you or empower you to go out. But you're going to do it in my power, God said. And the way that that happened was they waited on God. They began to pray. They began to ask God to search them. Don't search yourself. Ask God to search you. God, search me, O God. You're going to write down some verses. Write down, first of all, Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And then the next thing you write down is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, any way that's not your way. And then lead me in your way. Lead me in the way that's everlasting. God, I want to walk in your way. I want to let you live your life through me. I want to put my life in your hands. I want to trust in you. I want you to come live through me. I don't want to keep, you know what? When I looked around as I was growing up, and I looked at everybody's life that was around me in the world, I said, something's missing. I said, everybody, and when you look around in life, don't you see something missing in people? It's like they're not happy. They're not full of joy. They don't have peace. Everybody's worried, and people are just all selfish and just thinking about themselves. And they don't live, you know, like when Peter, he stepped out of the boat. Jesus, he was in a boat, and Jesus is walking on the water. And Jesus said, come to me. And Jesus is saying to you, come to me today. He's saying, come to me. And Peter put his eyes on Jesus, and he stepped out of that boat and he walked on the water. Where every one of us has a life that we're going through. We're trying to stay in the boat. We're trying to not get wet. But we're going through life, and life laps over the edges and gets on us. We have heartache. We have pain. We have people that hurt us. We have disappointments. Things don't go the way we want. When we're young, we can have all these dreams and ideals, and then as we become an adult and start working, we start losing those and kind of settle for whatever we got to do. And it's like people are like sinking in the water. And when you look around, people in your life, it's like they're in the water of life, but they're not happy. They're all struggling. But Jesus says, look at me. And then when you look at him, he says, come to me. And Peter put his eyes on Jesus. He stepped out of the boat. He left his comfort zone. He left his house. He left everything that was him in control. And he stepped out on life, but he walked on life instead of life walking on him. Instead of him sinking in life, he was walking on life. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Now, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and started worrying about all the things and started trying to figure it out with his little brain. How could I be walking on the water? Because this isn't possible. Well, then why are you doing it, Peter, if it wasn't possible? But he took his eyes off of Jesus, started looking at all the circumstances, all the people, and he sunk in the water. And then again, he turned to Jesus, Lord, help me. And Jesus reached over and said, give me your hand, Peter. And when he put his hand in his, he lifted him up out of that water. Just all he did was just reach out. Peter, give me your hand. And he reached out. We are either going to be sinking in life, and then you can't help other people when you're sinking in life. God is wanting us to learn how to walk on life. And the way to do that is walk with Jesus. Because we all have the same situations, hard things, relationships, hardest thing you ever do, bosses, work, lack of money, flat tires, burnt meals, or having to cook the meals, or washing clothes and then having to wash them again and again and again. Like, Harvey, I've already washed them 20 times. How come you keep getting them dirty? You know? We all have the same things we go through. But are we going to be sinking in those things? Is that our focus? I got to cook a meal. I got to wash clothes. I got to go to work. No. You know what? I told you that time when I went to GM and that security guard pulled me to the side and he said, come here. He said, sir, come here. I walked over to him and he said, let me ask you a question. I thought I did something wrong. It's a security guard. He's wearing his little badge, you know. And I was walking in with the rest of the cattle going into GM, you know. We're all going to work. And he pulls me to the side and he said, sir, I have been watching you for the last few months. He said, I got to ask you a question. I said, what is it? He says, why do you smile? He said, you're the only person that walks in here every day. You're smiling, whether you're coming to work or you're leaving work. Because I've had the other security guards watching you too. And they all say you're smiling. He says, are you retarded or what? Why are you smiling all the time? And here's what I told him. I said, sir, I got to do this job. I said, first of all, it's Jesus. But because of Jesus, I got to do this job anyway. Now, I could come in here like some guys do, and they got a bad attitude, and you could tell it in their work. When you wash your dishes, why don't you wash them as if you were washing them for Jesus, Maria? Jesus, I'm going to wash these dishes as worship unto you, Jesus. These are your dishes. I'm going to get no more little hard things on there. No more little stains. Jesus, I'm going to wash these dishes as if I'm washing them for you. You understand? Okay? I'm going to make my bed as if I'm making it for Jesus. I'm going to do my job as if I'm doing it for Jesus. And you know what? When you live like that, it's like you find much more joy in what you do instead of just doing what you have to get by. I got in trouble at GM, that same place. One time, the boss came up to me and gave me this thing called an AVO. And I said, what is this? And he said, you're in trouble. I said, what did I do? He said, you're working too much. I said, what? He said, you're doing too much work. He said, you're doing too much work. He said, you're causing it where other people don't get overtime because you're doing their job. And I said, and that's a problem? He said, yeah, you know. He told me it was okay, but he said he had to give me that piece of paper because he had had 15 complaints against me because I was working too much. Now, you know what? You know what? I'm telling you, I would rather live the way that I've been living since I met Jesus than the way most people live. I want to walk on the circumstances of life. I've got all kinds of problems that happen in my life, and I'd rather walk on them than to be down in them struggling. And when people come along, I'm trying to stay afloat, and I can't even help people. I'd rather be up here walking with Jesus, walking on the circumstances, all the things that happen, the hard relationships. Jesus, here's the relationship. I need you in this. I need you in this relationship. How are men and women supposed to get along together? They're so opposite. You can't do it without Jesus. You got to bring Jesus in that relationship. Jesus' way, Jesus' thinking, Jesus' ideas of how to live. But it's His life in you. His life in you. So you're walking with Him. Walking with Him. You see, today you could say, Jesus, and so many of you did, Jesus, I just want to give you my life. Great. Now, how do we do that? If I'm going to have a relationship with Larry, and I do, then I talk to Larry and I listen to Larry. Yesterday we were talking on the phone. I was talking for a little bit and he said, where'd you go? I said, I'm practicing being quiet so you can talk. Didn't I say something like that? Yeah, I know, I did. Thank you, Glenn. Okay, I'm going to get back on the top with Jesus. No, it's okay. What I'm saying is, every day, how do I live you, Jesus? How do I give my life to you? You have some ideas? How would you give your life to Jesus? How? All 100%. So what does that mean? All 100%. What does that mean, Paula? Surrender your will. How about it right now? God, I want to give you my life 100%. How about what she said? God, I want to surrender my will. You see, I'm trying to help you with something. For crying out loud, how did I get to be from a drug dealer to be your preacher? How did that happen? Okay, it's not that Harvey was some good guy and I grabbed myself by the belt and said, okay, I'm going to get better now. It's like one step at a time. I gave my life to Him 100%. I surrendered my will. What else? How can we give our lives to Jesus? Come on, Wayne, I know you have one or two ideas. What? How do we give our lives to Jesus? Okay, did you hear what she said?
You read the Word every day.
Now, let me get honest with you. I'm not saying this to hurt your feelings, but I'm asking you for your sake. How many of you read the Bible every day? How many of you? Okay, good. I'm glad for those that do. Now, let me make a suggestion. Let me ask you another question. How many of you like to eat food every day? Gotcha. How many of you do eat food every day? That's the question. Okay, come on. I want to see those hands. How many of you do eat? Come on. Don't you lie over there. Okay. How many of you do eat food every day? Now, I was just telling a brother this morning. One time when I preached in a black church and they asked me to come speak, I just went there to just go there. Somebody invited me there. I just went there. And then they asked me to pray with them before the service. And then when I was praying with them, they said, Lord, thank you for bringing a preacher here today. And I said, yeah, Lord, that's good. I like preaching, you know. And then they said, and you're the preacher. And I said, I am. And so when I got up preaching and I said, how many of you read your Bible? And I held the Bible up. I said, how many of you read your Bible? I said, soul food. Now, I'm from the South. I said, soul food is not hog jowls, chitlins, black-eyed peas, RC, and a moon pie. This is the only thing that'll feed your soul right here. This is what you need every day to feed your soul. This is the living Word of God. This is not a Reader's Digest or a soap opera digest or a love story. I mean, it's got a love story in it. It's probably got some soap operas in it too, but you'll see as you read through. But as you read this, it's going to change your thinking.
It's going to help you to be consistent. Did you say today, I want to give you my life, Jesus? I'm sorry?
Yes.
How about the rest of you? Did you say that? I want to give you my life?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Here's how to give him your life. Pick up your Bible every day. Pick up your Bible and open it. Start in the book of John if you need to. Start in the book of Proverbs. Start in the book of Matthew. I could tell you where. I have a plan that God gave me 30-something years ago. I tell everybody, start in John, read John through. When you're done with that, go to 1 John. There's 5 chapters over there. Then go back to Matthew and read through the New Testament. After you've read the New Testament 3 or 4 times, now start in the Old Testament, but always read the New with the Old. So you'll read, like, if you get up to where you're reading 3 to 10 chapters a day, whatever you're reading, I don't know. But you start with one. I don't care if you start with one chapter, but start reading. If you want to have corn, what kind of seed would you plant? If you want to have, and if you plant like just a couple, 3 pieces of seeds of corn, are you going to get much corn? Okay, I'm just saying, if you plant 2 or 3 seeds of corn, how much are you going to get?
Zero.
Not much.
Zero.
Okay. If you plant like a handful, you think you might get more? Can't hear you. Think you might get more? All right. Well, guess what? If you want a big bunch of corn, you got to plant a bunch of seed. Well, the Bible calls itself the seed of God. And if you want a good God crop, you want a good corn crop, you plant a bunch of corn. You want a good God crop, you plant a bunch of God. That means you read the Word every day. God, open this book up to me as I'm reading it. Help me to understand what you want me to understand. God, please make it real to me. And then just start reading it. And maybe you're going to start with one chapter. Maybe you're going to read 2 chapters, Hannah. I don't know. But as you're reading it, God, that Word is going to get inside of you. And it's going to have an effect on you. It's the living Word of God. It's Jesus Christ in print. You don't believe me, go start reading the book of John and see if I made that up. The Bible is God in print. You and I reading that every day. It's like we're saying, God, I want to spend time with you. Remember? God, I want to spend time with you. And you just go sit on his lap and just read his word. And let him talk to you every day. They just had a little baby in their house. And that little baby, they talk to every day. They kiss that little baby every day. You think they love that baby? They feed that baby every day. Okay. Now, what if we look at our own lives? What kind of relationship do we have with Jesus? Do we talk to him every day? Do we let him talk to us? Goo, 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 and whatever. Goo, goo, and all those other things they do. Those little noises they make. Do we touch him? We touch the baby. Do we touch Jesus? Do we just spend time with him? Ask him, I want to sit on your lap, Father. I want to be able to put my hands on your cheeks. I want to be able to look right in your eyes. I want to know you. You see, what we spend time with is what's important to us. We eat every day. That's important to stay physically strong. Okay, but you could go a day without eating. I'm just letting you know. But I'm just telling you, you could. You wouldn't die. You could even go 2 days without eating. You could go a bunch of days without eating. But you know what? You don't want to go a day without reading your Bible. You want to let God speak to you. And then you want to talk to him. You got all kinds of things going on in your life. There's many times that I have felt all alone. I didn't have anywhere to turn or anybody to turn to. When I was working at GM or places like that, and the guys were all like the way they were. And it was like, God, I just felt all alone in there, like a fish out of water or something. I didn't seem to fit everybody else with the way they were. And that
was a time where God drew me closer to Him, where I spent more time with Him. I talked to Him. I talked to Him about everything in my life, all my needs, because He cares for you. Every little need, everything you have. When it says that no man cared for my soul, but it says He careth for you, He will never turn you away. He'll never forsake you. It doesn't matter who you are. It's not because you're worthy. It's because He chose to love you. It's not because you did something that got Him to love you. He loves you for who you are. He wants to have a real relationship with you. He wants to meet your need. But He wants us to trust in Him to do that. God, I want to give You my life. God, I want to trust You. Teach me how to trust You. And the Bible says, as you read the Bible, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As you read it, as you hear it, it's going to produce faith in you, which is going to help you to trust in Him more and quit trusting in yourself, because we keep falling. We mess up. Is that right? Do we fail? Do we mess up? Do you want your life to be further along than where it is? Do you want to be like everybody that you see walking around like this? And that's the way most people are. And then you got those that are smiling, but they're fake. You go like that and they crack, you know. Am I making this up? They're all around you. Just open your eyes. And I said to God before I even met Him, I don't want to be like everybody on this planet. Something's missing. And I didn't know it was Jesus, because nobody had ever introduced me to Jesus till I was 20. Folks, I met Jesus, and it's like, He's what I've been looking for my whole life. And He's what the world doesn't have. He's what the world doesn't have. A young lady came up to me a couple weeks ago, and she goes, Pastor, I got to tell you something. She said, just hanging out with Jesus, however she said it, she said, now I find myself just telling everybody around me about Jesus. And you know why? Because as you start hanging out with Jesus, you can't help but talk about what you're full of. When you're into playing sports, that's all you talk about. When you're hunting, like when I go hunting, I have to come back and tell you all the hunting stories, right? We talk about what we're full of. God bless you. On purpose. If we hang out with Him and we find out that He's caring for us. Come on, love me like you normally do. Oh, He's loving me. Oh, He's kissing my little boo-boos. Oh. He's loving on me. He's holding me because He knows I love Him. And He loves me. And I'm hanging out with Him. Guess what? He becomes real. How do I get to know Him more? Just come and talk to us. If you're a female, come ask my wife. If you're a male, come talk to me. And we'll just give you ideas every week. How else can we get closer to Jesus? We said we want to give Him our lives. How else? Hang on. You already gave one answer. It's not that I don't want to hear your answer. I do. You know what I want? I want to get more of them involved. Don't say a word. Say, yep, right. All right. So what else? What else would help us to get closer? Yes? Praise God. How about praise Him in the good times? Praise Him in the bad times? Praise Him no matter what? How about that? How about if you just think about Him? God, You are so good. You loved me. Here, I'm the one who killed You with my sin. And You said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And He's like, and that's what He's doing to you. Here He is like this. Here, come, give me a hug. Give me a hug. You see, He loves you. He wants to reach out to you. He cares about you. When you turn to Him, every time, anybody in this room want to give a testimony? I came and gave my life back to Jesus. I came and surrendered my life. I told Him I wanted Him, but then Jesus didn't want me. Has anybody got a testimony like that? But it didn't matter how far we went. Every time we come back, what's He doing? Isn't this Jesus? Isn't this Jesus? He's like, I want you.
Where do you think they got that Uncle Sam poster? I want you. Where do you think they got it? They got it from Jesus. Where do you think Allstate got, if you're in good hands with Allstate? Where do you think they got that? Right out of the Bible. That's God. God, give it to me. Give me your life. Give me your problems. Give me that husband. I'll deal with him. Serious. So what else? Did you tell God I wanted to give your life to him today? Did you? So what else? Praise him. What else? Yes, sir. Did you hear what he said? He's like, just tell him, I want you. That's all you got to do is tell him, I want you. You see, he's God. There you go. He's God. You may not know how to get to him from where you are, but God, you come get to me. Come get me, God. I dare you to pray that. God, come get me. Oh, the three of you that prayed that, God's going to get you, and he's going to get you so good you're going to love it. Because you see, God's not mad at you. God's not disappointed with you. You're disappointed in yourself sometimes. But God's not disappointed in you because he doesn't have expectation. He doesn't say, Brittany, I expect this and I expect that and I expect the other. He says, Brittany, what I desire is for you to read the word, for you to let me talk to you today. What I desire is for you to come to my house. What I desire is for you to think on other things. What I desire is to help you with your relationships. He says, but I'm no expectant, because he doesn't get disappointed. He has desire. We disappoint ourselves. But every time we turn back to him, what's he doing? Arms wide open. What's that song? Arms wide open. Heart exposed. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Good, 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 good. So what else? Something I haven't heard anybody say yet. There's something. Something else. Go ahead. What was that?
Obey.
Okay. So we're talking about, you want to give your life to Jesus? Just one more time. Did you want to give your life to Jesus?
Yes.
I just want to see. Paula, I'm looking around. I just want to see. You want to give your life to Jesus? Okay. Now watch. My wife just said, obey. Now listen to what I'm going to say. You don't need me or my wife or Miss Patty or Dudley to tell you what God wants. Now maybe you need us to help you grow some, just being here as part of the body, but there's things you know inside to do, not to do. Now let me ask you a question. On Saturday night, do you need to get prepared for something on Sunday?
Yes.
What is it?
Church?
Have you ever seen that sign, CH with space in the middle? It says, what's missing? You are. Now watch this. If you want to get close to him, you want to give him your life? If this is his house, where do you think he is on his day with his people when his word's being preached through his spirit? Where do you think he is? So on Sunday morning, is it an option about being in church? Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not telling you this. God told me that for me. And it works. So in April 3rd, 1977, is the first time I got in church after I got saved. And then from that point forward, it was like a lady said to me right after that church service. We went over to her house with my mother-in-law. And this lady was real big mouth. And she goes, are you going to come to church on Wednesday? I looked at her, I'm like, lady, get out of my face. She said, I want to know if you're going to come to church on Wednesday, because we don't play church around here. We go three times a week. And I just looked at her, and I said, I don't like this lady at all. But what she said, God used it to work inside of my heart and said, well, Harvey, are you going to play with me or do you really love me? You're going to come walk with me. I said, I'm going to come walk with you. And he said, well, they have church 3 times a week. He said, I know you never heard of that before. He said, but he said, that's when what we're going to do. He said, that's what I want you to do. So I just started going 3 times a week. Now, we could do that for y'all. We could just start having church 3 times a week for y'all. But to be honest, y'all could come in here every day. You've been coming in here every day, Glenn, enjoying that, seeing you having God moving in you, because it's a time of fellowship. It's a time of growing. It's a time of learning. It's a time where God is bonding you. Okay? Wednesday nights, men. You need to be at men's, Bible study, whatever, you know, when you can. Of course, I don't expect you to fly here from Arizona for Wednesday night, just, you know, when you're out driving, you know, or wherever you're driving, you know. He drives truck too, Muharram. Yeah, that's why he's only here one Sunday a month, because they've got him all over the country the rest of the month. He owns a trucking company, okay? Oh, anyway, did I say that? Anyway, it just hit me. Okay, we were just talking about that yesterday, weren't we? All right, I love you. Folks, it's not just a matter of having warm fuzzies, making an emotional decision, but it's a matter of, I got to make some choices so my life is different. And those choices are these things we've been talking about. The choices are what you know in your heart, things that you need to do or not do, because it will help you to get closer to Jesus. Remember a while back, a few years ago, they had those little bracelets that said WWJD? It's... What would Jesus do? Despite what others say. Okay. What would Jesus do? You need to learn to ask yourself that question. What would Jesus do? When somebody's yelling at you, what would Jesus do? When somebody's, when you have a bill, what would Jesus do? You take it to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need help with this. God, though I know this, God is dealing with me to depend on Him more. Depend on Him more, because He wants to get more in and through my life. Well, He wants me to be like Carson, and He wants me to be the little boy and let God be the daddy, and for me to depend on Him and quit trying to depend on myself and trying to do things for God. He wants to do it for me, just like your mommy and daddy do it for you. They take care of you, meet your needs, clothe you, cook good food. That's it. See, they feed you. I love you. Anybody have anything to say? I'm really glad to hear that. She said, there's one of us here. She said, my husband and I love you. So I'm glad you love me too. But I love you. But folks, it's about us really walking with Jesus. Not just, see, we know all kinds of stuff, but we don't do it. But in your heart, you know. If you know, somebody offers you something, and you know in your heart, no, I shouldn't take that. No, I shouldn't watch that on the TV. No, I shouldn't be listening to this. No, I shouldn't do this. Make choices. What would Jesus do? And it's going to help you to live a more victorious life. Help you to quit struggling in the water of life and learn to walk on the water with Jesus. I'm not preaching you something that doesn't work. I'm preaching something that I live all the time. But you have to admit where you mess up. You have to admit when you sin. You have to ask Jesus, Jesus, please forgive me. And He says, I already did. He says, now, let me help you so you don't repeat that. Let me help you make some different choices so you don't keep living there. Because He says, I love you too much to leave you there, David. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to be hurt. But when you are hurt, then you get to know God like you know your daddy. And you go to your daddy, and your daddy comforts you, and He cares for you, and He loves you because He's a gentle guy. And He loves you, doesn't He? And see, He's like Jesus like that, see? Well, that's God, because He's supposed to represent God to this guy. He's supposed to represent God to this guy. We're supposed to represent God to them out there. We've got to learn how to walk with Him, how to live Him. There's different choices. Pray with me. God, I want to make different choices.
I want to make choices
that honor You, Jesus.
So
help me to read my Bible every day so I can find out what You want, how You want me to live, and I can get the power through Your Word to live for You and with You. Thank You so much, Jesus, for loving me. And I want You to know that I love You. Amen. How about that? He even said, how about that? All right. Everybody stand up. Before you leave here, I want you to make sure you hug four people today. Yeah. Okay. I'd like to be one of them, but everybody can't get to me. But I'd like you to make sure you hug four people and you tell them Jesus loves you.